Hello and welcome, or welcome back. I'm Meg Podvix, and today I'm going to be reading Dying on Your Lips is How I Wanna Go by Scribe Spy Rare on Archive of Our Own. This is a My Hero Academia fic featuring Bakugo Katsuki and Midoriya Izuku as the main relationship. And that is all I have to say. Now, without further ado, please enjoy. Dying on Your Lips is How I Wanna Go. Written by Scribe Spy Rare, read by Demon Feed Audio. Summary. It's not every day you run into a really hot guy with a monster dick who's down to fuck. Except Izuku keeps running into him, and maybe he should be a little worried about that. The first time it happens, Izuku is on the run from a crime scene. This is a fairly common occurrence in his life, all things considered. It kind of comes with the territory of being a quirkless vigilante hero. Neither the police nor the official heroes appreciate him stepping in, making his job that much more dangerous since he has to avoid both the good and the bad sides of the conflict. It's not like he really goes after any of the super dangerous villains anyway. He mostly tends to target petty crime around the city that goes ignored by the big-time heroes, most of whom wouldn't stoop to saving something as lowly as a convenience store being held up. But the hero agencies don't appreciate his efforts regardless, and if the initial crime doesn't cause a response, well, Izuku's presence will. Izuku ducks into a side alley, breathing heavily. He'd taken a pretty nasty fall back there, but though he'd initially felt pain in the back of his head, it faded away almost entirely, which is, well, a little worrisome, but not as worrisome as the cops on his tail. He follows the alley to the next one, jumping over a low brick wall to get there, and then another. The area is unfamiliar to him to start off with, but he quickly realizes where he is, and what an opportunity that is. Working quickly, he sheds his outer hero outfit as he runs, homemade but decent enough at concealing his identity and protecting him from superficial harm. By the time he reaches the particular alley he's thinking of, he looks like a regular citizen, minus the tousled hair and heavy breathing. But then, those are traits he can use to his advantage here. Because this particular area is well known for cruising, specifically gay cruising. The buildings on either side of the alley are both bars, and the whole street is filled with more bars, sex shops, and host clubs. Each of them boasts at least some level of under-the-table sex work. An unofficial red-light district, as it were, that caters specifically to gay men. Not only will the police not want to follow him here, especially on a Saturday night, but moreover, if they do... There's someone else in the alley. They're standing back in the shadows, a hood pulled up over their face and a long black jacket covering most of their impressive frame. It's a little over the top, but there are plenty of closeted men who come here but don't want to risk being identified. That's fine. Izuku can work with it. Hey, Izuku calls, slowing to a trot and then a walk. He stops just a few feet away, trying to mask his heavy breathing and not seem like he was just running from the cops.
What are you looking for?
The heavy cloak shifts just a little. Like the man has cocked his head to the side. Like he wasn't expecting Izuku to speak.
You,
comes a voice from within. A deep, almost menacing rumble that instantly makes Izuku perk up with interest. He hasn't been here often, not with his anxiety over it. But the few visits he has made were uninspiring. Quick gropes, expensive booze, fumbling hands in the dark that left him wanting more. If he were more adventurous, he would have tried to take someone home, but he'd never worked up the courage. But that voice promises some very dark, very good things.
Well, here I am,
Izuku breathes. Up close, the man smells like fire, like heavy musk and smoke and the smoldering ashes of a pyre. Izuku's hands find his chest, well-defined even beneath that cloak. And then he sinks down to his knees.
What?
The man says, then curses loudly as Izuku pushes the cloak aside to get to the pants underneath. Black, like everything else he's wearing, and tight as sin. The laces on them are a bit strange, but Izuku manages them quickly enough. His first thought is that when the cops come by, if they come by, this will be the perfect alibi. Kind of hard to be a vigilante hero when you've got a dick down your throat. Then, all other thoughts abandon him entirely as he gets the man's cock out. It's monstrous. There's no other word to describe it. It's not even just the size, though that certainly can't be understated. Izuku's pretty sure it's longer than his forearm, and thicker to boot. He gets two hands around it, and his fingers barely brush each other on either side. The man is getting hard, but his cock is so huge it can't stand up under its own weight, heavy in Izuku's palms as he, well, he gapes at it. Can you blame him? It has the weirdest proportions Izuku's ever seen on a dick, not that he's seen many up close and personal. Bulging obscenely at the head and base, but tapering somewhere in the middle. Except, of course, for where it's laced with giant, throbbing veins, a strange blackish color underskin, so pale it makes Izuku look like he actually gets enough sun. Holy fuck, Izuku mutters, and desperately wants to follow the exclamation with a question about the man's quirk, if his monster cock is even related to his quirk. But that's not what either of them are here for, and the growl emanating deep from within the man's chest is a reminder. Izuku licks his lips and shuffles backwards, making more room for himself. The first swipe of his tongue over the leaking head has him moaning. It's different, somehow, than the other two times he's sucked dick. The taste is heavier, darker on his tongue, addicting somehow, even as his jaw aches from the strain. He doesn't even have it more than a few inches into his mouth when it bumps into the back of his throat and nearly makes him choke. Fuck, it's not going to fit. The man snarls again, and suddenly those black-clad fingers are winding into Izuku's hair and yanking. Fuck, he hisses in that smoke-dark voice. God, fuck, why would you... His cursing fades into angry muttering. But despite the tone and ferocity with which he's gripping Izuku, his cock slides down the back of Izuku's throat with ease, like it was made to fit there, like Izuku doesn't even have a gag reflex, even though he was choking mere seconds before. Izuku relaxes into the hold with a faint moan, and just lets this strange, dark man fuck his throat. It should hurt. He knows that logically. He's never been capable of deep-throating before tonight. But it doesn't. It just feels good. All that weight and heat against his tongue, sliding down into him, the heavy, musky scent and taste combining to make him feel lightheaded. Or maybe that's just the lack of oxygen. The man's hips are rolling in a staccato rhythm against Izuku's face, bumping his nose into dark fabric, fingers still tight in his hair. And Izuku is so caught up in it, so blissed out on the feeling of being used like this, that he almost misses the shine of flashlights against dirty alley walls and the call of police officers. He only notices it all because the man stops thrusting against him, coming to a pause with his dick halfway out of Izuku's mouth. Izuku whines, confused, then freezes when he finally hears them, talking to each other, calling out to anyone who might be in the alley. Izuku is expecting to hear their approaching footsteps, and he tries to pull back in fear, at least get the dick out of his mouth before they're on top of him so he can make his excuses. But the man holds him steady and still, refusing to let Izuku move. He would panic, or fight back even, but, well, the officers don't seem to have noticed them, somehow. Their voices don't raise in recognition, and their flashlight beams never seem to settle on them in the darkness. In fact, each time one sweeps by, Izuku could almost swear it goes right through them, hitting the wall behind the man's back. Before Izuku can really process that, the footsteps and voices fade away as the officers move on. Almost immediately, the man is sliding back down Izuku's throat, giving him no time to move away. Not that Izuku really wants to get away, not with all that hot flesh filling his throat so perfectly. Who knew giving head could feel so goddamn good? He's pretty sure his eyes are rolling into the back of his head by the time the man comes.
and comes.
Izuku can only whine and try to swallow the deluge, his stomach cramping even as his mind reels at the heavy flavor, only tasted on the very back of his tongue because of how deep the cock is. It feels like minutes before the man is finally sighing and pulling his hips back. He takes himself in hand, not even his fingers are able to wrap all the way around himself, and sloppily drags his softening cockhead over Izuku's mouth. His lips feel swollen and red from abuse, and he slips his tongue out for one last taste before he can help himself. The man grunts and tucks himself away.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
Izuku sits back on his heels and fights the urge to get himself off right then and there on the dirty concrete.
Uh-huh, he says,
figuring the guy probably has some internalized homophobia to deal with.
Sure.
It's only a second that Izuku is looking away as he stands, hands patting at pockets to make sure he still has his hastily stuffed away hero costume. But by the time he's upright and paying attention again, the man is gone. Izuku glances up and down the alley and wonders how someone so goddamn huge can make so little noise when they move. Then he curses because he'd half been hoping that, closeted or not, he might be willing to help get Izuku off. Selfish jerk. The second time is a little blurrier. It's only been a month or so since the first night. Izuku had stumbled home, the police none the wiser, and despite the blood he'd found in his hair, had been perfectly unharmed. He'd written it off as a great night overall and went to bed quite pleased with himself. Tonight, the stakes are a little higher. He isn't the only vigilante hero in the city, though he is the only one without a quirk. Regardless, he teams up from time to time with some of the others when a problem becomes too big for them to handle and they still can't draw the registered hero's attention to it. The bar is buzzing with music and voices and alcohol, a mixed stench of sweat and liquor sitting damp in the air. There are 5 of them total in on the plan, but only Izuku and one other person are inside the bar itself. The others are outside, waiting on their cues. They've tried a few places now, the nights before this, but haven't had any luck yet. So far as they can tell, there's a human trafficking group that's popped up in the area, and none of them are willing to give up until they can bring it down. Too many people have already fallen victim to it, and Izuku's resolve is cold and steely in his gut. Izuku is holed up in the back of the room as another vigilante, a blonde woman, plays bait at the bar itself. She hasn't actually had anything to drink, but is a fantastic actor, and has talked to nearly everyone in the bar so far. Izuku's job is to keep an eye on her and make sure nobody tries anything. Not that she can't handle herself, but they have reason to believe the ring knocks their victims unconscious before taking them. It looks like some died on the scene before being sold off, so a little backup isn't out of order. He's pretty sure they're not going to get anywhere tonight, though. They've been here for hours already, and despite a few gropings, nothing of interest has happened. Izuku knocks back his drink and grimaces at the strong flavor collected along the bottom of the glass. It's the only alcohol he's had tonight. There's only so long one can sit in the back of a bar and order Cokes before people start getting suspicious. But already, he can feel himself getting a little lightheaded. If he didn't know any better, he'd think his drink had been spiked. But no. He'd ordered it himself, stood at the bar for it, and taken it straight from the bartender's hand. He hasn't been approached by anyone, nor has he left it alone. He's just a little bit of a lightweight. Pulling out his phone, he sighs when he sees that the group has decided to call it quits for the night. It's getting close to 2 a.m. after all, and a final call probably isn't all that far away. When Izuku texts back a quick reply and looks up, the blonde woman he'd been watching is gone. Well, that's his night for him. He sways when he stands and frowns at the sensation. Maybe he needs to start drinking more if a single cocktail does this to him. Shaking the feeling away as best he can, he stumbles over to the restroom to wash up before he heads home. It's as dirty and dim as one might expect from the condition of the bar itself. Grungy white porcelain, smeared mirrors, tile floors that are vaguely sticky and boast unidentifiable stains. He is willing to bet that there's at least one glory hole present, and that none of the stalls, hard, blue plastic, as dirty as everything else, and written all over to boot, don't lock properly. And there, leaning against one of the stalls, is him. The lighting is better this time than it had been in the alley, but not even shitty fluorescent lights can dispel the shadows gathered under his hood. He's even bigger than Izuku had originally thought, the broad sweep of his shoulders stark when not swallowed by shadows. There has to be at least a foot height difference. Maybe two? Izuku can't be sure without getting closer, and God, he wants to get closer. His mouth waters and arousal curls low in his stomach as he remembers how he'd gotten down on his knees that night for this man and his fire-rough voice. Just like then, the hood shifts, like its occupant is cocking its head to the side. "So you can see me," the man says nonsensically, a statement more than a question. Still, Izuku offers a tentative, "Yes?" in response. Silence. There's the distant thrum of music from the bar outside, but in this dingy, dirty little bathroom, they are alone with each other. Izuku can feel the man's gaze like a physical touch, even if he can't actually see it. When the man uncrosses his arms, it brings his hands into view. Gloveless hands. The skin is pale and dried and cracked, the fingers long, wide palms that look strong and capable. Each fingernail is black and matte and sharpened into a fine point. Okay, so maybe he's just really into the goth thing and not actually closeted. Whatever. Izuku doesn't really care. He's drunk, done working for the night, and he hasn't been able to stop thinking about this man's cock since the last time they ran into each other. Izuku makes the first move. He grabs one thick wrist and tugs the man with him into a stall, unsurprised by exactly how much weight he can feel from just one simple touch. And the man comes easily enough, something like a growl bubbling up the cloak as the door slams closed behind them. There's not a whole lot of room, but that doesn't seem to matter. Izuku is pushed up against a grimy plastic wall, those pale hands harsh on his shoulders, his chest, his stomach. The man is still growling, an aggressive, assertive sound, and some inner part of Izuku has him tilting his head back in submission. The man huffs a laugh, but his growling stops at least. "You're so fucking stupid," he says, and then jerks Izuku sharply around until his cheek and chest are pressed into the wall. There's hot breath on the back of his neck and he shudders, feels a tongue briefly flick along his spine. "But I guess I can play. Take your pants off." Izuku has never moved so quickly, fingers fumbling at his waistband, pushing his jeans down over the curve of his ass. "Are you gonna fuck me?" he asks, breathless. And yeah, he knows it's a bad idea, okay? It's the worst fucking idea. He doesn't know this dude, couldn't pick him out of a goddamn lineup, and they're in the bathroom of some random, seedy bar where multiple people have been kidnapped. But he still moans when those strong hands find his ass and squeeze, still arches his hips and spreads his knees as far as his jeans will allow, when calloused fingers stroke him, pressing at his rim. "No," the man rumbles, and that's, well, a disappointment. But it's good, too, because Izuku is still drunk anyways. "But I can at least return the favor since you made me come for the first time in a long time." His touch disappears for a moment, and Izuku fights the urge to whine about it. But when it returns, his fingers are slick and cool and slide inside with minimum effort. He can't even feel the sharp edges of his nails. Izuku gasps at the sensation, shoulders going high and tight. He moves so his forehead is pressed against the plastic and he can look down at the curving arch of his own cock, hard and leaking against filthy plastic. He can also see the other man's feet on either side of his own, feel the heat and weight of his body as he blocks Izuku in, covering him completely. His fingers rock gently, and there's an ache there from having two shoved into him at once, but Izuku can't complain. They're skilled, those fingers, stroking and pushing just where he needs them, until the ache is gone entirely and he's moving back on them, trying to get more.
Fuck, Izuku mutters, his voice high and soft. Fuck. More, please. Give me another.
The man laughs behind him, a sound like hot coals dragging against each other. He must be leaning down, judging by the forearm pressed into the plastic over Izuku's head and the wet breath Izuku can feel on the back of his throat.
Slut, the man says, almost affectionate.
The word makes Izuku shiver all over, his cock jumping against his belly and ass clenching on the fingers inside him.
Oh, you like that, do you?
The man murmurs, third finger teasing at Izuku's hole.
Want me to tell you about how much of a fucking cock tease you are? Sticking your ass out like that? In the alley, too, the other night. The way you swallowed my cock hole and nearly came from the taste of me? Oh, don't think I didn't notice how much you were getting off on it. You were so fucking obvious about it. I almost wanted to let you run against my leg like a fucking dog.
Izuku's thighs are shaking, and he nearly cries when he finally gets that third finger inside him. It just feels so goddamn good. So big. He's never met anyone with such big hands before. Fingers long and thick enough that just three of them are the size of a regular dick. Izuku wants to bounce his ass on them, ride them to completion, but gets the sense that his partner is getting off on controlling him right now. At least, the curve of his hard cock against Izuku's back says that anyway.
You sure are talkative,
Izuku says, biting at his lower lip when the man starts thrusting his fingers for real instead of just stroking with them.
What happened to all the stoicism from last time?
The words barely want to leave his mouth alongside all the moans spilling out of it. There's a dirty, nasty, schlick, schlick, schlick filling the air as the man picks up speed, and Izuku's knees go weak at the sound. They nearly fall out from under him entirely when the man laughs again. His teeth, God, those feel sharp. What the fuck? Scrape against the nape of Izuku's neck again, a tease and a threat all in one. Maybe I was too caught off guard by the little cock slut at my feet to say much the first time. Here I was, minding my own business, just trying to get a job done. And then you came along and got down on your knees like you were dying for it, worshipped my fucking cock, drank my cum, looked up at me with those stupid cow eyes like you wanted to be ruined.
Another laugh. Another chill down Izuku's spine.
His ass feels loose and hot. Everything about him is oversensitized. The plastic under his hands is heating with his own rising body temperature, and his shirt is sticking to his back with sweat.
Of course that took me by surprise. But now? Well, now I know what to expect from a little whore like you.
Those teeth, teasing before, sink into the back of Izuku's neck with a little fanfare. He cries out, spine arching both into pain and away from it, body confused by the way it mixes with the fingers battering his prostate. As if it was to prove the man's point about him, he comes like that. It splatters against the wall stall and tears well in Izuku's eyes, his entire body shuddering and convulsing. The bite turns into a kiss, then several more. Dry lips, soothing skin that feels like it's bleeding. Izuku should probably be worried about that, but he just sighs in satisfaction as those fingers pull out of him. It leaves him feeling empty, but in his afterglow he can't complain. He's never come that hard in his entire life.
Hey,
he says, voice hoarse from screaming, and he tries to turn back to look at the man. Maybe catch a glimpse of him inside that ridiculous hood of his. Get his name, his phone number. Just thank him for such an amazing orgasm. But where he'd been hovering over Izuku mere seconds before, blocking him in on all sides,
He's gone. Just gone. Izuku is left standing there with his pants around his knees, his cum slowly dripping down the wall, and a throbbing bite mark on the back of his neck. Okay, so maybe Izuku doesn't make the best decisions in life. Maybe he's a little too risky with his own safety, and the two encounters he had with this mystery man are both perfect examples of that. It's not like there aren't plenty of people who cruise and hook up with others semi-publicly on the regular. That's a very real thing that happens. It's just, that isn't Izuku. He's always been too nervous, too filled with anxiety. You can't know who any of those people are after all. What if he ran across someone he actually knew? What if he accidentally hooked up with a stalker or a murderer or something? For a while, Izuku thought that maybe, so long as he didn't see the man again, things would be okay. A two-in-one deal. Some of the best sex he's ever had, despite the lack of any actual sex, and some good memories to think back on the next time he's alone and in need of a little release. Hell, after Izuku and the other vigilantes manage to take down the trafficking ring, he actually forgets about the man for a little while. He goes back to his normal job of secret crime fighting by night and working his dead-end retail job by day. But almost a month later to the day, Izuku rethinks his decision to just let it all go so easily. Of course this would fucking happen to him. Of course it would. Because the man is in his apartment. Izuku stands in his doorway, swaying gently with a potent combination of exhaustion and pain. A fucking stalker. Of course, because that's always been Izuku's life, right from the beginning. The lights are off, but he'd recognize the bulky shape standing in his living room anywhere. All dark, heavy cloak, and shoulders so broad Izuku could sit on them. Except he won't, because the dude's a stalker who broke into Izuku's home and is probably here to kidnap him, and or worse. Still, Izuku's dick valiantly tries to join the party anyway, and he curses himself silently. "I'm armed, you know," he calls into the darkness. There's a faint drip drop as blood slides down the curve of his cheek and hits the hardwood beneath his feet. Fuck, he's in bad shape. He can't take anyone right now, much less someone of this guy's size and with an unknown quirk to boot. "If you leave now, I won't call the police." But he will be moving houses as quickly as he can.
"Neither you or the police could stop me," the man informs him, that long, imagined voice teasing along Izuku's skin like smoke, like something hot and rough and eye-watering. "You really fucked up this time."
Izuku blinks, taken aback by the words.
"What?" "Those injuries," the man explains, gesturing lazily toward Izuku. "You're a fucking idiot, throwing yourself into harm's way like that."
Izuku bristles. So this guy had seen then, knows who Izuku is, what he does. And worse, he'd seen Izuku be hit by that car, the way he'd pushed the civilian, a man, someone Izuku doesn't know, out of the way of the fleeting perpetrator. The bumper had caught Izuku's hip, spun him and slammed him face first against the glass of the windshield, then down against the concrete where he'd fallen. He probably needs a hospital if he's being honest, but there were witnesses, cops, people who could verify the types of injury and will be asking about them in emergency rooms all across town. So he didn't go for help. He's here, instead, dealing with whatever this is.
"You still haven't figured it out yet?"
The man takes a step forward in the dark apartment. It's not threatening, but with his size and bulk, it's something. Izuku isn't sure what, but he has to swallow down the urge to back away regardless. He has to shield his eyes when the man turns on his living room light. It's not super bright, seeing how it's an old, shitty apartment, but it burns his retinas at first anyway. The dull yellow deepens the shadows under the man's cloak, but defines the tall, wide figure. Then, ungloved hands, ungloved just like last time, reach up, 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 and pull the cloak hood down. The man is, well, not a man. That's rude, but it's Izuku's first jumbled thought. His hair is blonde and pale like ash, his eyes brimstone red and flickering with what might be a literal inner fire. The skin of his face is as cracked and dry and white as his hands, twisting slightly around lips that are too thin and reveal the tips of sharp fangs in his mouth. He looks skeletal, old in a way that has nothing to do with age and everything to do with inevitability. In a world full of people of all different shapes and sizes and colors and quirks, Izuku is sure of one thing. This man isn't a man at all.
Still nothing?
The lips forming those words shouldn't possibly be able to create them. They're too thin and don't meet properly, don't have the elasticity to move or bend the way they should. But the words reach Izuku all the same. He still can't say anything, though. Too stunned, too confused, too still bleeding out on the floor.
I'm Death, Izuku, the man says.
And when had he gotten so close exactly? He's towering over Izuku now, staring down at him, the huge bulk of his body blocking out the living room light. He smells of ash and funeral smoke and embers, and the heat rolling off of him is immense.
You should have died twice over already.
One bone-white hand reaches for Izuku and tangles gently in his hair, cupping his head despite the asphalt dust and blood. Izuku's heart is pounding at the revelation. Death. Fucking death. And still, despite it all, his dick is still trying to harden at that familiar touch. Death smirks down at him like he knows it, lips twisting before they fall into another frown.
Aren't you going to say anything? He presses.
Izuku licks his own lips and doesn't miss the way Death's glowing eyes track the movement.
Am I going to die now?
Death breathes out harshly through his nose, and Izuku swears he sees actual smoke.
You're supposed to.
Like I was supposed to before?
Yes.
But you didn't kill me then.
No.
Death seems to hesitate for a moment before heaving another sigh.
Look, don't make me fucking say it, okay? You fell off the building that first night and cracked your damn skull open, and it should have been an easy in-and-out deal. I wasn't expecting you to be able to see me, and I certainly wasn't expecting you to suck my dick. I almost thought you were trying to bribe me, but now I just think you're an idiot. Especially when you let yourself get drugged that second time. Really, staking out a bar like that and you didn't expect that the fucking bartender was in on it? That he wouldn't target the guy sitting all alone in the back, who no one would notice was missing? I'm the only reason he didn't come back there and slit your throat. Okay, so maybe Izuku really needs to get better about his own safety. Like, a lot. But I'm not supposed to be able to see you? He asks, then, remembering who he's talking to, tacks on an awkward, Mr. Death, sir? Death's expression screws up into distaste. I've literally had my fingers up your ass. Don't call me Mister. Also, my name isn't Death, that's just what I am. I don't call you human. My name is Katsuki.
And Izuku, well, he's bleeding out, okay? And being this close to to Katsuki, hearing his voice, remembering his touch, it's doing things to him. So he blurts out, "But sir is still on the table then?" without thinking. Katsuki blinks, clearly taken by surprise. Then his mouth curls into a smirk, and the fire in his eyes grows so intense that it's painful to look at.
"If you like, I won't say no to Daddy either."
And yeah, okay, Izuku is hard again, but he's also still bleeding out onto his floor, so clearly he needs to get his priorities in order.
So, is this the part where you know,
he twirls a finger in the air. Take my soul?
Well, Katsuki pauses, seems to consider him.
I was thinking about offering you a deal, actually.
The hand he had in Izuku's hair slides down to his cheek, his throat, presses briefly there to make his breath stutter.
I've never had such a good lay, and I've lived for a long, long time. And I don't technically have to take your soul if I don't want to. I can even heal you like the first two times, keep you around for my pleasure whenever I damn well feel like it.
Izuku's mouth drops open into a silent moan. Katsuki's thumb immediately dips into the wet cavern, pressing against his tongue.
You'd like that, baby? Wanna be my little cock sleeve?
Izuku nods, then gasps when Katsuki's features screw up in anger and he jerks his touch away harshly enough to feel like a slap.
Then stop nearly dying. I can't drop everything I'm doing just to heal your dumbass every time you jump in front of a car. If you want the stick, you're going to have to make some changes.
What? Izuku asks, reeling.
You heard me, Katsuki says, crossing those huge arms over his chest. Start taking better care of yourself, and I'll fuck you all you want. Hell, I'll even teach you how to fight if that'll help. Just so long as you stop acting so suicidal.
I'm not suicidal, Izuku snaps, bristling at the direction this has turned.
You just jump off buildings and in front of cars and take spiked drinks from shady bartenders,
Katsuki deadpans.
And that's not counting any of your close calls. Those are just the ones that were supposed to kill you.
Izuku opens his mouth, then closes it again with an audible click. So maybe death has a point. Who else would know exactly how reckless Izuku can be? Wasn't he just thinking that he needed to take his safety more seriously? With a sigh, he deflates and rubs at the back of his neck. His fingers come away sticky with blood, but all the aches and pains have... Well, they're not gone exactly, but they also don't feel like open wounds anymore.
Did you heal me?
Kind of hard to have a serious conversation when you're suffering from a concussion and blood loss, Katsuki says, in a tone that's clear he considers it another point in his favor in their argument.
Izuku bites his lower lip, thinking over his answer.
Now that he's past the initial indignation, it's kind of an impossible proposition to turn down. Who wouldn't want to fuck death on the regular? Okay, probably a lot of people. But what can Izuku say? He's always been drawn to the monstrous.
If I say yes, will you fuck me tonight? He finally asks.
It's probably not physically possible for Katsuki to roll his eyes, considering they're more pits filled with fire than actual eyes. But he gives it his best try.
God, you're cock hungry. Yes, Izuku, I will fuck you tonight if you agree to my terms.
Then consider me on board. Do I need to sign something in blood? Again, with the almost but not quite eye roll.
No, I'm not a demon.
Izuku pauses, eyes narrowing as he tries to parse out if that's a joke or not.
Are demons real?
Katsuki stares at him, those huge arms still crossed over his chest.
I could answer that, he says eventually.
Or you could come over and finally let me fuck you. Izuku's never moved so fast in his life, and that's saying a lot, considering how many people he has had to run away from in the past few years. Katsuki catches him around the waist, reeling him in, and it's not quite a kiss, considering Katsuki's mouth isn't all that human, but it's close enough for Izuku. He can feel them moving, his feet long having left the floor since he's not tall enough to reach Katsuki's face on his own. He learns fairly quickly that it's not just the Reaper's lips that are inhuman. The teeth Izuku already knew about. He saw them tonight, sharp and wicked like fangs, and had felt them against his skin nearly a month ago. The wound they'd left behind has only just healed over all the way. What he isn't expecting is the long, long tongue that Katsuki slips into his mouth. It's burning, hot, and thick, taking up so much of Izuku's mouth that he feels like he's sucking dick. And then it slips down the back of his throat and it really feels like that. Izuku moans at the undulating, wet sensation.
Izuku doesn't realize they're in his bedroom until he's forcibly pulled away from Katsuki's body with strong hands and dumped on his bed. He bounces a few times, looking up in surprise at the form towering over him. Fuck. He's so tall that if he laid down in Izuku's bed, his feet would hang off the end. It's a good thing they're not here to sleep. Izuku is pulling off clothes before he's been told to. Shirt, bloodied and torn, pants equally as ripped. Underwear after that. His costume was dropped by the front door and won't be usable for some time. None of that matters once he's naked and scooting back on the bed, eagerly making room for his partner. Katsuki watches him with those flaming eyes of his, bright in the dimness of his bedroom. He doesn't bother removing any of his own clothing, just pulls the laces on his pants loose and pulls himself out. As much as Izuku wants to see him naked, this is just as hot, if not hotter. Izuku completely naked at the Reaper's mercy, Katsuki fully dressed and in control. Izuku shudders and spreads his thighs. Come on, what's taking you so long?
Maybe I'm just enjoying the view, Katsuki rumbles in return, hand stroking along that impossible length of his.
God, is it even going to fit? Izuku has always considered himself a bit of a size queen, but fuck.
It's not every century I get to appreciate a little cock slut like you, all spread out for me, even after you know I'm not a human.
Izuku flushes but tries to shrug his shoulders casually. It's belayed by the way his dick jumps against his stomach at being called a slut again.
I'm just a monster fucker, I guess.
Those lips but not pull up into a fangy half-smile.
Oh, I'll show you a monster, all right. Turn over.
Izuku does as he's told, getting up onto his hands and knees and arching his back without having to be told. He gets a small swat against his ass for his effort, and he yelps. He's about to complain when two strong hands hook him under the thighs and drag him back across the bed. Then all complaints vanish when he feels that long, hot tongue against his ass. The few sexual encounters Izuku has had that did involve penetration were nothing like this. For one, they were mostly with girls, but the man he'd been with hadn't rimmed him, and even if he had, there's no way his tongue could feel anything like this. It's long and muscular and slick and forces its way inside his ass like Katsuki's trying to take him over, which he is as far as Izuku can tell, and Izuku is damn well going to let him. By the time the Reaper decides he's done, Izuku's ass is open and dribbling, and his thighs are a wet, shaking mess. The only reason he didn't come is because Katsuki had wrapped a few fingers around the base of his dick and squeezed.
Damn, you're easy, Katsuki says, getting to his feet from where he'd been kneeling on the floor.
The lower half of his face is glistening and wet, and he wipes it absently on the sleeve of his cloak.
Eat you out and you nearly start crying.
Izuku sniffles and rubs his face against the bedding.
I'm not crying.
Katsuki smirks.
Not yet, you're not. You will be when I finally get this inside you, though.
He takes himself in hand and presses just the tip against Izuku's hole, circling it lightly.
Even after all that, there's no way you're ready. I'm too big.
And he's right. Probably. His cock is just as huge and monstrous as the first time Izuku had seen it. But Izuku still mutters an uncomplimentary, "Don't stroke your ego too hard over there. You'll come early," into his bed. Katsuki just laughs at him and pops the head inside. It takes a considerable amount of pressure and makes Izuku's toes curl. His breath hitch.
Fuck, that's big. There you go, the Reaper murmurs, petting at Izuku's lower back. Just like that, baby. You're gonna take the whole damn thing like the perfect little slut you are. And take it he does. It feels like hours that Katsuki works him open, sinking inch after inch into his body with the sole purpose of ruining him from the inside out.
By the time he's fully seated, Izuku is openly crying from the combined pressure and pleasure of it. If he thought Katsuki looked big, It's nothing on the way he feels. Hot and huge, carving a path inside Izuku and not leaving room for anything else.
Izuku can feel the way his stomach is curved outwards around the shape of him, his body simply too confined to hold him in his entirety.
"Shh, there's a good boy," the Reaper murmurs, leaning down to trail kisses along Izuku's spine, up to the nape of his neck. "You're doing so good. Come here." That's the only warning Izuku gets before strong arms are gathering him up and lifting. His back is to Katsuki's chest, pressed tight, and he whines as the cock inside him shifts, pressing harder as his center of gravity adjusts, dragging him down onto it. Katsuki gets an arm around his hips, the other sliding up his belly, his chest, fingers curling around his throat in a caress. Izuku wraps his legs behind Katsuki's thighs on instinct, and tries not to faint when he looks down and sees the outline of the Reaper's cock in his belly. "There, much better," Katsuki murmurs, and rolls his hips.
Izuku gasps and tries to arch his spine, but finds he can't in his current position. In fact, he can barely move at all. His fingers and toes curl as Katsuki starts to build a rhythm, and it's basically all Izuku can do to just hold on. Moans are punched forcibly out of him, and his head lolls back against Katsuki's shoulder.
"Oh, fuck,"
Izuku whines, and he feels more than he hears Katsuki laugh at him. Another indeterminate amount of time passes as Katsuki holds him in that position, fucking Izuku at his leisure. Izuku is pretty sure the Reaper is getting off on being in control, in making Izuku whine and beg for more, then making him go breathless and limp when he fucks him so hard that Izuku can barely breathe for all the room that massive cock is taking up inside him. It's a long, drawn-out ordeal, and Izuku is pretty sure he comes multiple times, if the mess on his distended stomach is anything to go by. But the pleasure blurs together at the edges, peeking over and over again in steady waves that leaves his legs numb and black dots swimming across his vision. Supernatural creature or not, though, even Katsuki has to come eventually. He does so with a muttered curse, once more burying his teeth into Izuku's flesh. Izuku cries out, tossing his head to the side to give the Reaper more room to work with. It's painful, of course, but it also feels amazing on top of everything else. Even more so when he can feel each pulse of Katsuki's orgasm rippling through him. His stomach bloats further with cum and he groans at the sensation. Just this side of too much. Katsuki pulls his teeth away gently, licking and kissing at the mark he's left behind.
"Fuck," he mutters softly, and Izuku groans in agreement.
It makes the Reaper laugh, low and rough.
"You good?"
Izuku agrees, and sighs as Katsuki carefully untangles them in order to lay Izuku down on his bed. That huge cock slides out of Izuku a lot less carefully, and he winces. He can feel how open his body is now, as well as the rush of cum that coats the insides of his legs. Not that the rest of him is any cleaner. Between getting hit by that car and all the sweat worked up between the two of them, he could definitely do with a shower. Izuku curls into his bed instead, too tired to bother. He'll have to clean the sheets later, but that's fine. When he doesn't feel Katsuki join him, he slits his eyes open, eyeing the blonde Reaper where he's grabbing his cloak where he tossed it on the floor at some point. "Can't you stay?" he asks, then winces because, really? Is he asking a creature of some kind to cuddle in the afterglow? But Katsuki doesn't look dismissive or angry when he glances back at Izuku. If anything, his features contort briefly into apology.
"Not tonight. I'm still on shift, technically."
"But you'll come back?"
"We have a deal, Izuku. Of course I'm coming back."
Katsuki shrugs his cloak back on and then leans down to brush a kiss against Izuku's forehead. It makes Izuku's eyes briefly flutter shut.
"Stay out of trouble in the meantime. Got it?"
Izuku agrees, and watches until Katsuki vanishes like all the times before. This time,
At least he's sure he'll see the Reaper again.
Times 4, 5, 6, and 7 all go fairly similarly to the third one. Katsuki shows up to berate Izuku for his self-defense skills, they fuck for hours until Izuku passes out, occasionally still on the Reaper's cock, but he's not going to complain. And then Katsuki leaves to get back to work. It's not until the eighth visit that nothing sexual happens, mostly because Katsuki declares it a training session, and then wipes the floor with Izuku so thoroughly that he couldn't get it up after even if he tried.
"You're sturdier than you look," Katsuki tells him, offering him a hand up off his living room floor. "But you're still not very suited for your chosen profession."
Izuku knocks the offered hand aside and continues to just breathe where he's laying on his back. They'd pushed all his furniture out of the way to give themselves room, so it's just him starfished out on the cool hardwood.
Yeah, quirkless people shouldn't be heroes, he snaps with no real heat. I've heard it all before.
The Reaper just raises a blonde eyebrow at him.
Quirkless? I just meant that you're fucking tiny. You're not quirkless.
Izuku squints up at Katsuki, his pale, skeletal features haloed by the dim ceiling light.
Yeah, I kinda am quirkless, actually.
What am I, chopped liver? The Reaper quips, crossing his arms over his chest. You think just anyone can see me? Your quirk is that you can see death coming for you, idiot. And, well, the joke is right there. Izuku can't help the way he waggles his eyebrows suggestively, and then bursts into laughter. It makes Katsuki do the sort of kinda eye-roll thing, but his thin lips pull up into a smirk anyways.
Okay, yeah, kinda walked right into that one. Are you going to get up or what?
Nah, Izuku says, and spends the rest of Katsuki's visit laying on his floor. After that, he starts to lose track of the number of times Katsuki comes over. Sometimes they fuck, sometimes they practice, and sometimes they do both. More rarely, they do neither. Being a Reaper, Katsuki doesn't really need to eat, but somehow he knows how to cook. Once Izuku figures this out, he's able to badger the Reaper into making dinner for him every once in a while, which is always a treat, because Katsuki can cook. This leads to dinner dates, which leads to movie nights, which leads to cuddling on the couch long into the night. Basically, Izuku is pretty sure he's dating his own Grim Reaper, and he couldn't be happier doing it.
I very much hope you enjoyed this story. I did, I know I did, and I feel like it's very in time for the season. This should be posted October 19th, and I'm gonna try and put out some more spooky stuff before Halloween. I have this one that I want to do, but I haven't gotten anything back yet. So, yeah, I've got more stuff on Spotify and Anchor, and Anchor is just like an umbrella platform. It'll tell you where all my stuff is. Yeah, I'm on Instagram. I've got a Discord server. You can talk to me there. You can, I don't know, all the stuff you can do on Discord is in there in the server. So, yeah, leave me like 5,000 comments because I love comments. Smiles. Yeah, and if you didn't know, you should go give the author some love because this was like so good. It was like so erotic. God, it was great. Okay, yeah, that is all I have to say. Have a great day and I will see you on Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. Okay, bye.